right, ringers.
You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Sarah Montague.
The headlines: the Chilcot Report was finally published and shocked everyone by not being a whitewash. The picture it painted of Tony Blair was similar to the one Dorian Gray keeps in his attic.
Chilcot took 2.8 million words to say what he could have said in one four-letter one. Immediately after the report's release, Tony Blair got to his feet in a central London venue where he spoke for 2 hours. Asked about possible charges, he said his usual fee was £80,000. Chilcot publication day coincided with George W. Bush's 70th birthday.
I wore a party hat, and I got a big book which is called Tony Blair's Bad Day by Mr. John Chilcot, which I will make a priority to read just after I finish my pet goat.
The Tory leadership campaign continued. Andrea Leadsom's CV so wildly exaggerated the details of her career in the city, she's now hot favourite to win the next series of The Apprentice.
Wales were knocked out of Euro 2016. Bugger. Still, reaching the semi-finals was an incredible achievement for a country that's only the size of Wales.
Victorious Leave campaigners said it was time for Remain campaigners to shut up and stop calling for a second referendum. Remain campaigners said branding them a metropolitan elite was as ridiculous as saying that Glyndebourne's production of Die Meistersinger von Nürnberg lacked emotional resonance. It was a week when it seemed everyone was quitting. Chris Evans, Nigel Farage, he wanted his life back after destroying all ours. So naturally, everyone was on tenterhooks when there was a surprise announcement from the palace.
Yes, will you all bloody well stop quitting? Don't you know the effect it has on one's blood pressure? I'm lying in bed with Teddy, contemplating the futility of life, watching Holmes Under the Hammer. When on the radio one hears... shock resignation. Up one leaps, crown at the ready. And it's only that wretched Farage chap abandoning his clown car. It's been the same these last 2 weeks. Cameron, Boris, Chris Evans, Roy Hodgson. How can everyone have bloody quit their job except for a 90-year-old woman?
But it was Chilcot which dominated the news, with vast numbers of people feeling they'd been cruelly misled. One such individual, Rupert Murdoch, joins me now.
Oh, that terrible man Blair fooled me into running hundreds and hundreds of front pages backing the war. It was like the South Yorkshire Police and Hillsborough all over again. I was just a naive, innocent Antipodean led astray.
I only wish we'd have been hacking completely different phones at the time. And sweet, innocent little Rupert might have known what an awful bloke Tony Blair was. Anyway, can't hang about. There's a Tory leadership contest on. And it only turns out I choose the winner.
Hi, leave a message and Theresa may get back to you. That was a joke to show I have a sense of humour.
Hello, Theresa. It's Michael Gove here. Just thought I'd call up and offer my congratulations. You have my complete backing. Listen, you know, I'm the last person who would want to go around stirring stuff up between friends, and honestly, I've been agonising over whether I should tell you this, but I was, like, having lunch with, like, Andrea Leadsom, and she was, like, really, really rude about you. She called you a Scooby-Doo villain who dresses like someone out of Dynasty, and I was like, whoa, Andrea, not cool. And she was like, I don't care who knows, it's just a total beat where she's lost control over borders, and you know what I mean? And I was like, no, I don't know what you mean, and she was like, we'll figure it out then, and I was like, well, really, as I say, I really wish I wasn't the one telling you this, but, you know, don't shoot the messenger. Give me a call if you need to talk... Govey, bye. All right, play the music. People of Britain, it's me again. I'm sure you've read the Chilcot findings by now. You may have thought the report was quite damning. Well, think again. On page 47, it says the words... Tony Blair. There's the word is on page 8003. On page 1293, it has the word completely. And on page 1,000,009, it says the word innocent. I think that's pretty conclusive, don't you? There are lots of other words on other pages, such as incompetent, needless war, and inadequate, which sound terrible on the face of it. But have you ever thought that this report might have been sexed up? Yes, believe me, it can be so easily done. A couple of tweaks here and there, and things can sound a lot worse than they are. Take it from me. I can see from your open-mouthed, horrified faces that you all agree. So to sum up my defence, shit happens. I will be with you, whatever, whether you like it or not.
You're watching Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark. My mama don't like you and she likes everyone. More on that story later. There was embarrassment for Ken Clark this week. You'd have thought just being Ken Clark would be enough, but there was worse to come when he didn't realise his microphone had been left on after a TV interview and made disparaging comments about the leadership contenders. Fellow Tory grandee William Hague joins me now.
Well, let us not be too harsh on Ken. Retirement does funny things to a man. To be frank, it sends old Tories doolally. Remember when Tebbit invaded Denmark in a Hillman imp?
How's your retirement, by the way?
Oh, smashing. I'm keeping busy. I spent 2 years devising a revolutionary new cotton bud. It's got my face on one end, and it goes sad when it doesn't find any earwax. I'm hoping to present it to the Dragon's Den team in the autumn.
Oh, that sounds...
I know. And if that doesn't make my fortune, I've written a soft porn novel, which is a bit like 50 Shades of Grey, in which an attractive bald man torments women by showing them photos of every bowl of rice pudding he's ever eaten.
Clark, when he said those things about the leadership contenders, he was just being a bit dotty.
Oh, no, I meant he was being a bit dotty when he turned up for a Sky TV interview dressed as the Les Dawson character Cosmo Smallpiece. What he did is an old Tory grandee trick of pretending not to know who's being recorded while knowing bloody well that he is.
Ken called Theresa May a difficult woman.
Now, that's a compliment. For Tory men, any woman who isn't either a nanny with a pacifier in one hand and a teddy in the other, or a dominatrix carrying the same things, is a difficult woman.
William Hague, thank you.
I mean, wouldn't it be terrible if I was to say something indiscreet now that the interview is over, like, William Hague is a terrific lover?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr.
The Hague. Sheer embarrassment of me inadvertently telling the world that Fionn's nickname for me is Stud Muffin all the time. Or our safe word is Brexit.
You're watching Channel 4. Now a series is part of our post-Brexit season that follows British expats forced to leave their sunny retirement homes and relocate back in the UK. It's A Place in the Rain.
I'm Jasmine Harmon, a flowery sun lounger in human form. This is Sharon and Paul. 20 years ago, they retired to Sierra del Fuego al Punto de Miss Hidalgo. But now they're coming back because the free movement of people is over and payback's a bitch.
We're just ready for a change.
Exactly. I've spent 20 years drinking sangria on a beach and having siestas. But now I want to spend my retirement queuing up at food banks and unsuccessfully trying to get a doctor's appointment.
Sharon and Paul's Spanish villa is worth €150,000, which, in England, will get them a second-hand wheelie bin full of wasps. They've settled on Scunthorpe, once part of Britain's flourishing steel industry. It's since transformed itself into a thriving centre of existentialist despair.
We want to integrate into the community, so we've been learning the language. Isn't that right, Sharon?
Yes, blood, allow that chat. You're talking Bear Breeze, fam.
It does look like these two are going to have to make some compromises. Paul wants a garden to plant vegetables, and Sharon wants to not get set on fire. I think I might have found them just the right place.
Well, it's very light and airy, Jasmine, which I think is due to the fact that it hasn't got a roof.
That That's the price you pay for getting your country back.
So, guys, what are you going to do? Guys? Oh. Well, it looks like Sharon and Paul have decided to cling desperately to the underside of a lorry and hope no one notices till they get through the Channel Tunnel.
Hello, you're watching The One Show while you wait for something good to come on.
I'm Matt Baker, every bit as interesting as my name.
Normally do heavy politics on the show, but our guest today is Tory leadership contender Theresa May. Now, you've been dubbed the serious, sensible candidate.
Indeed, Alex, I am, yes. I'm wearing pearl earrings, powder blue jacket and difficult woman micromesh tights. I'm here because I want to reach out to normal, dull, everyday people.
You've come to the right place.
People are saying that although you're very sensible, you don't seem to have much fire in your belly.
Oh, but I do. It's two-bar electric with a childproof grill and sensible cool-touch carry handle.
But some of your colleagues have said that your campaign for Remain didn't have enough oomph.
I don't approve of oomph. It's a very loud, scary word and could frighten pets or children or Angela Eagle.
Now, there's something I've always wanted to ask you. Not really, I'm just reading the autocue, obviously. But have you ever told a joke?
Yes, of course. Knock, knock.
Oh, who's there?
I will answer that question when it is sensible for me to do so.
Now, at university, though, you did get up to some wild, crazy antics, didn't you? I mean, most students do.
I was a geography student, and there was this time we went to the Lake District.
And?
That's it, we went.
OK, so if you do win the Tory leadership, will you call a general election so the whole of Britain can give their verdict on you?
I'm sensible, Alex, not stupid.
BBC Radio 4. And now, the Archers. And Rob has been stopped in the street by Clarion Joe.
Rob, you're looking well. Isn't he looking well, Joe?
I appreciate that, Joe. I really do. I'm just trying to be a good father to Henry, doing all the dad things, you know, taking him to the park, building Lego, shredding his beloved Teddy for disobeying direct orders.
Oh, does he ever ask about his mother?
Oh, I want to shield him from all that unpleasantness with Helen. It's just too unsettling for a boy his age.
That's wise.
Instead of saying Mummy's in prison, I tell him Helen is dead and rotting in hell, where the maggots feast on her dark soul. It's for the best. That woman is a menace. To have attacked a man as loved as me, the hero of the Ambridge floods, champion of the cricket team. Yes, and Grand Lord Wizard of the Borchester Satanic Lodge. And yet still Helen claims I'm some manipulative, controlling psychopath.
Exactly.
Did I say you could speak yet?
I'm sorry, I mean, you're so right, Clary. The sooner Helen is found guilty and I have both my boys, the better.
Oh, hello, Clary.
Oh, Rob, have you met our new policewoman, D.I.L.E. Miller?
Oh, yes, sorry, just transferred here from a little coastal village called Broadchurch.
Oh, that sounds blissfully quiet.
Oh, no, you'd be surprised, Rob. Oh, there was a terrible crime there, and it only turned out that my supposedly kind, caring husband was actually an evil psycho. I know.
Oh, really? Fancy that.
Rob, you've gone ever so pale.
Oh, yes.
Yes, he does look the colour of one of your ferrets, Joe.
Oh, and we've got a new sergeant too, Catherine Kaywood. Yes, she's just transferred here from a place called Happy Valley. We're going to go through your case with a fine-tooth comb. You should pop down to the station and say hello.
Oh, I'd love to, of course, but Did I mention we're moving? Today, immediately, a little place in London I know, far more sedate than Ambridge. It's called Albert Square.
Hi, it's Andrea Leadsom. I'm a politician. For the Conservatives? Short blonde hair, you know the one. I've been a minister and everything. Leave me a message.
Hello, Andrea. It's Michael here. Congrats on being in the final two. You have my complete backing. Listen, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm just going to come out and say it, but I saw Theresa May this morning, and she was like, "Ugh, do you know who I hate?" And I was like, "Who?" And she was like, "Andrea." And I was like, "Andrea, that's no way." And she was like, "Yes way." She's got a face like a confused chicken, and her economic policies are flimsy at best, and she dresses like my grandmother, who's like 90 and like dead. And I was like, oh my God, Theresa, you totally can't say that. And she was like, "Watch me." She's like Hyacinth Bouquet's ugly sister. Anyway, Andrea, don't shoot the messenger, but if you need to talk, give me a call. Okay, hun, bye, Govey.
You're watching Newsnight. Don't worry, the wife will be off to bed soon and you can switch over to Babe Station. The Labour coup to remove Jeremy Corbyn has ended. Angela Eagle joins me. Angela, it was an embarrassing omni-shambles, wasn't it? You didn't really have the killer instinct to get rid of Jeremy Corbyn.
That's quite unfair, Evan. We tried to remove Jeremy as leader and we achieved most of what we set out to. Apart from removing Jeremy as leader. We did have a lot of secret meetings in Costa Coffee, and I got one of those little stamp things, and only two more frappy lattes, and I get a free one. Let's try and look at the positives of this. I may sound like a nervous badger trying to cross a busy motorway, but I'm ruthless. Dead ruthless. I'm hard as nails. If I want something, I take it. Then I put it back. I apologise for taking it and cry when the police are called.
So, is this the end of the coup?
Oh, no. We're simply moving to Plan B, which involves us forcing Jeremy out by letting him stay as Labour leader as long as he wants and hoping that eventually he dies in office. Wanders off. Then if Plan B doesn't work, there's Plan C, which is Operation Piss Up in a Brewery, in which we try and unseat Jeremy by organising a piss up in a brewery. And then Plan D, Operation Finding Our Arse with Both Hands. Which, as the name suggests...
Yes, thank you. Well, listening to all that was Corbyn loyalist Diane Abbott.
Thank you, Evan, and thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed for introducing me without an incredulous upward inflection. This coup was an embarrassment, Evan. It was so badly organised and half-hearted. I thought for a moment that they'd stolen Jeremy's notebook containing his leadership strategy.
Well, thank you, Angela Eagle, and thank you, Diane Abbott!
I'm Nigel Farage. No, no, no. Let me resign. Welcome to my last ever podcast. It's a sad day, sure, but truth be told, I've never liked the limelight. I'm looking forward to getting back to a quiet life, sitting in silence, just me and my thoughts. Oh, my God, my thoughts were terrifying. I'm never sitting in silence again. Good job, I'll still get a bit of attention at the EU Parliament. It's hard not to give someone attention when they're using the Maastricht Treaty as bog roll. I look back on my time leading UKIP with a lot of pride. London pride helps me forget the bad memories. And Douglas Carswell. Speaking of whom, did you see him tweet that smiley face emoji when I resigned? I did not like that. Not because it was harsh, just because the face was yellow. And you know my opinion on that lot. Hello? Yes? What's that? A woman might be replacing me. Good Lord, I'll call you back. Can you believe it? A woman running a national party. I'm almost tempted to reject my own resignation. No, 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 I can't do that again. I can't stop all the travesties in the world. I'm not Jesus, because he had long, girly hair and I heard he was Arabic. No, 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 I'm out. Maybe I'll finally make some friends.
prove Mummy wrong, or just spend all my days in the pub, like Papa used to do. That's it. The pub. That'll make me happy. That'll fill the void. Barman, minds are dark and stormy. Just like my soul.
You're watching the 10 o'clock news. I'm Sophie Raworth, the strawberries and cream in the Wimbledon of news. The Juno spacecraft has reached Jupiter after an epic billion-mile journey. We can link up live now to a satellite.
Hello? Can anyone hear me? It's Jeremy Corbyn here.
Mr. Corbyn, what are you doing on the Juno spacecraft?
I'm not quite sure. I was just having a productive late-night meeting with Tom Watson and the PLP, and I woke up here. I'm sadly disappointed in this latest development in my relations with Labour shadow ministers. But if the Blairite plotters thought launching me 1.74 billion miles into the solar system would dampen my resolve to lead the party, then they are wrong. They have played into my leadership strengths. I'm very good at doing remote and inaccessible.
Mr. Corbyn, how are you coping with the loneliness?
Loneliness? Blah! Perish the thought, Sophie. Boris is here for meaty banter. Yes, I was also having a productive meeting of my own with Theresa May, and woke up here too. Hey, Jeremy, fancy a game of zero gravity whiff-waff? Blah!
Hello there, and welcome to Question Time, live from the Corn Exchange in Dudley, or somewhere else equally as ghastly. Tonight we're joined by Prime Ministerial hopeful Theresa May, Leave campaigner Priti Patel, Labour rebel Angela Eagle, and of course a token leftist celebrity blowhard, probably Jermaine Greer or someone. But to be honest, I can't even be bothered to turn my head and find out. On tonight's post-Brexit special, we were going to ask the audience for their questions, but they all asked the exact same thing. What the bloody hell happens now? Priti Patel.
Well, it's interesting that you ask. The thing is, at the end of the day...
You haven't got a clue, have you?
No.
Theresa May, it looks like you might be leading us into this exit. What's the plan?
Well, I assumed I didn't need one. I usually just say absolutely nothing and wait for the posh boys to cock everything up.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Angela Eagle.
My personal plan is to unseat Jeremy Corbyn. Immediately. Probably. Or I might wait a while. I know I'm shaking like a cold dog in a rescue centre. But I mean business.
People seem to be putting their faith in female candidates to get us out of this mess.
There it is, Jermaine Greer.
Theresa May, Andrea Leadsom, Angela Eagle, Suzanne Evans, even Hillary Clinton. It's fantastic to see so many women in contention for top positions. But does it really have to be these women? I mean, Theresa May is like Angela Merkel without the cuddly bits. Andrea Leadsom's attitude towards gay marriage was described as a bit strong by Robert Mugabe.
Jermaine, you're answering an entirely different question to the one you were asked. Very good. 10 question time points to Greer. You also take home the question time teapot and a mini break for two at Aylesbury Civic Centre. Goodbye.
You're listening to Today. Andrea Leadsom has emerged as an unlikely front-runner against the Tory right for Conservative leader. She joins me now.
Lovely to be here, John. I like old men who are a bit sassy.
OK. The main reason it seems Tories are backing you is that if you stand far away enough and squint a little bit, you could possibly, in poor light, be mistaken for Thatcher.
No, no. No. I'm very much my own woman, and I'm offering a very exciting past for Britain.
Past? I think you mean future, don't you?
Oh, John, you crumbly old tease. I know exactly what I was saying. I'm going to take this country to a better place where we were happier and more content. And I've worked out that year is 1985. A Britain where Cliff is at the top of the hit parade. There's a Woolworths on every street corner, and there are openly racist sitcoms on the TV that the whole family can enjoy without feeling embarrassed because of those Polish people next door. And where people were only gay for comic purposes.
But Andrea, that is totally bonkers.
No party membership will ever be so gullible to pick a fringe politician promising to take them back to the 80s. Coming up after the news, Jeremy Corbyn.
And now, a statement from the Governor of the Bank of England on the effects of Brexit on the economy.
The outlook for the British economy post-Brexit shows significant stress, both in the macro and micro market, manifested by significant residential capital outflows.
With a translation by Private Fraser from Dad's Army.
Perdoned!
The downside risks to household income has intensified as the British economy enters a prolonged era of stagnation with noticeable risks of contraction in all sectors.
Doomed, I tell you!
And for those of you who still haven't got it...
I was happy when I voted Leave, but heaven knows I'm miserable now.
Theresa May?
Theresa... Hello, it's Andrea here. I wanted to say how pleased I am that it's going to be just us girls going for the leadership.
Hello, Andrea. Yes, it's nice, isn't it? And because we're both women, I'm sure the whole process is going to be so much more civilised.
I agree.
In fact, this could be the start of a kinder politics.
Absolutely. Oh, one more thing. I'm going to take you down, you slag.
Bring it on, bitch.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Tom Jameson and Niff Fountain, Lawrence Howarth, Ed Amston and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, Max Davis, Jack Bernhardt, Liam Byrne and Duncan Wisby. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Studios production.